Glad to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. We're going to begin our program today by talking with you about something called accelerated learning. Renee Mullen-Masters, our guest today, she is author of You Are Smarter Than You Think, Learning Made Easier in 3 Simple Steps. Renee is a speech pathologist, a teacher. She lives outside Ashland, Oregon, and she developed the learning system, You're Smarter Than You Think, 20 years ago. She's taught it to college students in California. The book was first published in 1992, updated in 1997. And Renee will be speaking at Waukesha County Technical College on Thursday, October 11th. So that's coming up in, 9 days or so. The college hosts the annual Regional International Alliance for Learning Conference. And I'll give you some information on where to go to register for that as the show goes along. I'll tell you what, it's going to be fun talking with her because as a teacher, I've had to try and teach people. I'm trying to help them learn. And, of course, I've had to do a lot of learning of my own over the years, sometimes with great success and sometimes without such great success. But let's get her on board here. She's online with us. Renee, hi.
Hi there.
Thanks a lot for being with us today. Appreciate it.
I'm so glad to be here.
I tell you what is accelerated learning and how did it get going?
Well, it's an interesting term. Because most kids today memorize and regurgitate information, but accelerated learning gets it into long-term memory. And when it's in long-term memory, it can be associated with all the other stuff you have in there, and you can come up with an idea that's totally outside the box. And that's where great creativity occurs when you do that.
You know, my learning has changed over the years, or you mentioned memorizing, but when I was doing my doctoral work and writing my prelim exams, I had enough hubris to actually put quote marks on a closed book test around certain paragraphs that I could recall from my memory. And I could picture a page. I'd think, well, let's see. Now, that quote came about a third of the way in the book, and it was about halfway down the page on the right-hand side, and I could come up with the quote. And I can't do that anymore.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't do that anymore.
Oh, man, that's incredible. Well, you probably had very good visual memory. One of the things that's in my book, which is kind of different than other books, is that we talk about how do you process language. When you're in an academic situation, it's all linguistics. You know, you're reading books, you're listening to lectures, and you're taking tests. And it's all processing language. And one of the things that I discovered is that everybody has a preference to how they process language. Some people need to see it with their eyeballs, just visually. Some people need to hear it just quietly in their ear. And some people need to hear it and see it, like read it. And you would think that there wouldn't be much difference between those different modalities. But the truth is, some people get about 20% of the information using one of those, and they get 90% when they use another one. And that's probably what you were talking about when you described that experience. And it just makes a profound difference for people.
Yeah, it certainly does. How did you hit on all this, and how did you develop this?
Well, it was a very strange experience. I was a terrible, terrible learner all the way through school.
Oh, no.
You know, I had so much trouble. I worked so hard, and I had moments of brilliance and didn't know why that was. When I got into speech pathology, it was very easy for me. Didn't understand that. Then I was reading Dr. Howard Gardner's research when I was developing programs for a PBS show, and it was like every one of my neurons that knew anything about learning sort of got pulled together. And when I read his research, and so I began, I was so excited about it. I was teaching part-time at a community college, and I started putting this information out to the students. And one day I was walking across campus, and the student grabbed me from behind. I thought I was being attacked. She said, "Renee, you can't believe what happened." She said, "I did exactly what you told me to do, And I went over, she had an anatomy and physiology exam. She said, I went over it one time, and I got the highest grade of anyone in the class. And she said, I still know the material. I did. It didn't go away.
So, but just going over it one time.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's, this is what people have trouble believing, especially when they've been memorizing. When you're using your brain the way that it was designed, information will get into long-term memory almost instantly. And everybody has experienced that. You've had times when some kind of piece of information comes into you and you remember it and you can't forget it. Like a word to a song, words to a song, or even the melody of a song, or driving directions, you know, just maybe a math problem, a phone number, a person's name, you know, those kinds of things. We've all had those experiences where we were using our brain the way it was designed, and it goes whammo, right into long-term memory.
And most of us don't know how we did that.
No.
That's the problem. Well, is it? Does it depend on the ability to learn? Does it depend on motivators like grades or prizes? Does it depend on just a really personal desire to learn?
Well, it helps. It helps. I mean, one of the things I learned early on is you can't be a passive blob sitting on a chair learning. I mean, learning is a very active kind of thing. And one of the things that the accelerated learning concept focuses on is creating an environment that facilitates excitement and interest. But it all begins with the student taking the responsibility for, this is how I learn best. I am responsible for learning this. And our kids today have become so passive, they think it's the teacher's responsibility for learning. And that's why they blame them for their poor grades. And it's, you know, and what happens in this accelerated process, you actually set up the environment to begin that that excitement. You know, it used to be that teachers' jobs were, their job was to motivate and get the student excited about the subject they were, you know, talking about. But today, it's all about spoon feeding, you know, giving them the information so they can pass the test. And it's just so boring and deadening.
Yeah.
Passive.
Well, I still try to motivate my students, and I think part of for a teacher's, from the teacher's side of things, it's motivating people to want to go beyond just memorizing the 5 points.
Sure. And you know what? I can remember taking a botany class when I was my first year in college. And this instructor absolutely loved botany more than anything on earth. You could tell. I still remember those classes. He was so turned on by his subject matter that he got me excited about it. Yeah. And I think the instructors, you know, and you probably know this from experience, I sure felt it, there's such a, it's almost like the students expect you to spoon feed them. You know, they've got it worked out. And when you don't spoon feed them, they go crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, there is some of that, although it seems less of a, well, it depends a lot on classes for me. Sometimes I'll get a class like that, and then the next time I have a class right now I'm teaching that is just the opposite of that. So,
really?
Yeah, so it's you never kind of know what you're going to get with your students from one time to the next.
Well, it's human beings, you know.
Yeah. Well, what's really the core then of this learning system?
Well, the core, in my book, You're Smarter Than You Think, basically what we do is we give the reader two self-evaluations. And the first evaluation is based on Dr. Howard Gardner's research that looks at the way the brain functions. and we do a self-evaluation. They come up with a profile. And then the second part, they learn about how they process language. And once they have that information, then we show them how to transform any learning situation into something that works for them. So when they're sitting in a lecture, they will do specific things in that lecture that will facilitate their learning based on how their brain works. Hmm. When they're reading a textbook, they will do the same thing. When they're studying for a test, they will do the same thing. And when they're taking a test, they will do it.
Can you give me one, before we go to the phones here, can you give me an example of what they might use to do that?
Okay. For example, let's say that I am a spatial person, which I am, mm-hmm. and I'm a combination learner, okay? Mm-hmm. So what that means is I need to see it and hear it, and I need to take spatial kind of notes. So, and I'm also body kinesthetic. Okay, mm-hmm. So I'm sitting in a classroom, and my instructor is lecturing to me. The first thing that I know is that I've got to take really good notes because I need to hear it and see it. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then I also know because I'm spatial, I've got to have all kinds of bright colored pens.
Oh.
As many or pencil and sort of a brown color paper. I mean, but mostly bright colored pens. And what spatial people need to do is to distill the information down to its essence. Get rid of all the other garbage that's there and just get to the essence of what's being said. And they do it by drawing maps and pictures and doodling and just getting to the essence of what's being said. And if I had a picture, I could show you better. But and then this person, okay, if I'm sitting there and I happen to be body kinesthetic, I'm going to probably be bouncing my foot.
Yeah, just like I am right now.
Exactly. Me too. Me too. And I'm using my hands.
Yeah. So am I. I always talk with my hands.
Okay. Well, now you know. And so what happens is that when that student is doing that, he is triggering his brain to work the way that it's designed to work. And the first part is he's getting it into the system. The second step, the spatial part, he's organizing the information so that the brain can get it. And then the body kinesthetic gets it onto a four-lane freeway and gets it flying right into long-term memory.
Renee Molin-Masters, our guest today. She is the author of You Are Smarter Than You Think, Learning Made Easier in 3 Simple Steps. And she'll be speaking at Waukesha County Technical College on Thursday, October 11th, at the International Alliance for Learning Conference. So we're really having fun talking with her today. If you want to join in, the number to call, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890. Maybe you can share an experience or have a question about your own learning for her. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll get to Sarah in Pell Lake in just a second. But I want to remind you, you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, Jim Packard, our producer today, and our guest in the studio, Renee Molin-Masters, author of You Are Smarter Than You Think. Again, if you want to join us, the number to call is 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. And now let's turn to Sarah in Pell Lake. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, thank you. This is such a great show. I'm so excited to hear about this. I have a learning disability. And I fumbled my way through school, and early on, I realized memorization was just really not going to do me any good. So as I went through school, I had to learn everything instead of just memorizing and putting it back on paper. I may not do well on the test, but I could go to the teacher and explain every aspect of it. And I thought I was just the only one that was doing this. I'm so excited there's a book out there that I can read and realize that there's other people that are doing it and other things going on, because I would sit and study and try to figure out what my best study ways were. I just love learning. I love going out and reading and learning. And to me, just learning more and more was just great. So I'm so excited to hear about all this.
Well, thanks for calling, Sarah. A comment, Renee?
Sarah, I want to tell you something. At Cal State University Sacramento, they have a for learning disabled students, and what they have a program, and they use my book. And interestingly, they found out that most of the students weren't learning disabled. They just learned in a different way. So that's probably what you're talking about. You're probably not learning disabled. You just learn in a different way. So I'm really excited that you've called.
And by the way, how do we get a copy of the book? Who publishes the book and so forth?
Well, the book is published by Reality Productions. If you're buying one or two books, Amazon.com has it, and they'll be happy to serve you. And if you are a school and would like an academic discount, they can call me directly, and I can shoot them in the right direction for that.
Okay.
I don't know if you want me to give that phone number now. It's area code 541-482-3506.
3506, okay.
Right.
Sarah, thanks. Appreciate the call. Annie in McHenry, Illinois. Let's go to you. Hi, Annie.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
If I understand correctly, you said that you were using this with college students. Is that right?
Yes.
Now, I assume that you can use it with other age groups, too. How young can you work with something like this?
Well, it's probably workable at the high school level. You could probably change things a little and work with it at the elementary level. Basically, it'll go down to high school or junior high.
Okay. Any extra tips for high schoolers using this?
Well, I think the first step with high schoolers is to get them to realize that they're not victims in the classroom, that they actually, if they learn how they learn best, they can have the power in the classroom to go straight to the head of the class.
Oh.
And I think some high schoolers, I know that I sure did, it's easy to feel like you're a victim when you're in high school, you know, all those hormones raging. That's what I would say to a high schooler, is that you don't have to be a victim here. Learn how you learn best, and you can be an A student in any class you're in.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. It looks like the exercises, now I haven't done the exercises, they look like they could be fun, though.
Fun, fun, fun. Hey, Larry, I wanted to say something to encourage the listeners a second.
Yeah.
This book is being used in nursing programs all over the country. And I want you to know that a lot of students that go into nursing, where you have to get it into long-term memory, the students really struggle at first. And a lot of schools have attrition rates of like 80%. So they only 80% of the students drop out or flunk out. But when they use this book and they get the students actually learning, it's a flip-flop. They start saving 80% of their students.
Wow.
And it's not anything mysterious. It's just using your brain the way it was designed.
Susan in Kashina, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Susan.
Hello.
Thanks for calling.
Me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, good. Well, my question might have been answered. I am attention deficit, and I wondered if it would help me retain information.
Absolutely.
And slightly dyslexic. I was fired from a teacher's aide position because I graded first grade papers wrong. So. And I'll hang up and listen to your answer. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Well, you know, I don't know the specifics, but I know that if you have dyslexia, there are some physiological issues that probably can be addressed and corrected. But the book You're Smarter Than You Think will help you because it helps anybody. If you know how your brain works and you look at your strengths instead of your weaknesses, you can't help but win.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Michelle in Sheboygan, we turn to you next. Hi, Michelle.
Good morning.
Morning.
How are you?
Great. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I was a terrible student in high school. had a hard time focusing and doing my lessons. And when I went to college, I don't know how it started or how it happened, but I turned to jelly beans. And I became a jelly bean fanatic. And whenever I studied and read, I munched just insanely on jelly beans. And it worked amazing. And then when I went to test, I did the same thing. I brought a little baggie, I would munch. I probably got some kind of crazy sugar high, and I did really, really well and ended up graduating, like, top of my class.
The jelly beans. Have you got a new book out on this, Michelle? The jelly bean solution?
The jelly bean solution. I was just thinking of the I'm a toe tapper. I'm a doodler, you know, and a drifter. And I don't know if it's the sugar or the chewing.
It's probably the chewing. And I would bet money you're spatial and you're probably body kinesthetic. And I would, you know, it'd be interesting to see you take the self-evaluation in this test to see exactly what you are. But I would assume you had bright colors with the jelly beans,
yeah,
which is definitely spatial. You were chewing, which is body kinesthetic. And obviously you're very bright, and the information just went flying into long-term memory.
Yeah.
New technique.
I wish I knew that in school.
Well, I'll tell you, I wish I had too.
Well, I think that's wonderful that you're opening up so much. I mean, that's really going to just help so many people.
Well, I think so too. I agree with you. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. You can join in too, by the way, if you have a question or comment or experience to share. That was a great one, the jelly bean solution. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890, 263-1890. And John in Milwaukee is next. John, hello to you.
Good morning, Larry and guest. I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
My question is the application of this learning principle to those of us in our 60s, 70s, and above. I consider myself a lifelong learner. And is our advancing age still applicable to this process?
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, if you're using your brain the way that it's designed, it will probably help you with your memory. As we all know, it goes down the tubes as you get older. But those strengths stay with you the rest of your life. And the more you use them, the more they will grow. And so it's very helpful for all of us that are, you know, getting a little bit older.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Tammy in Green Bay, hi to you.
Hi. I just wanted to share with you that I'm from Pulaski, and at the Pulaski Middle School, they actually have a program where they figure out the kids that had struggled in reading and math and gave them a little test to figure out whether they were right brain learners.
Mm-hmm.
And they have these kids all together where they are able to learn the way right brain learners or thinkers can do much better than being just learning other ways, the normal standard ways. So I just wanted to say that really made a huge difference in my son's learning. And I don't hear of that very often in schools where they do actually teach. They have all the same curriculum, but they actually teach differently.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I think, you know, we talk about discrimination, and the greatest discrimination in this country happens in the school, and that's because it's a very logical, linguistic environment. And only about a third of the population is really logical and linguistic. The rest of us are a combination of spatial and other things, and which is more of a right brain kind of learning system. And so I know that as a student, I felt like I was a stranger in a strange land. I mean, I just felt like, man, I cannot relate to this. I know I'm smart, but I do not know how to get to my smarts. And I know that two-thirds of the population leave school thinking that they're stupid, mm-hmm, and they're not. It's just.
Can I just tell you that's the way my son felt in elementary school, and things totally changed in middle school.
Isn't that great?
Something, yeah. So anyway, thanks a lot.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. Well, that's I don't think that happens as often as it should, where people are sort of put into classes depending on their learning style and then taught in the style that best fits them.
But, you know, you don't have to do that. There's been this, it takes a lot of effort and energy to do that.
Yeah.
And sometimes they expect instructors to teach according to all these different styles. Well, if you've ever tried it, it is impossible. It drives you crazy, and it doesn't work. But if you get the student, you know, if you teach the student, I think we should teach him down in kindergarten and say, okay, guys, this is what you need to do in order to learn well. Here are the things that you need to do. And make it really simple. And then all the way through their schooling, they have that information, and they're held responsible for that information. And it would make the classroom a lot more fun.
Yeah, it sure would. Keith and Stevens Point, your turn. Hi, Keith.
Good morning, and thank you for a wonderful program.
Thanks.
When I was in high school, I was a terrible, terrible student. I knew I was relatively intelligent. I tested well, and when I was applying to college, I did extremely well on SAT and ACT scores, but I was a lousy, lousy student. I just couldn't seem to master the material that the teachers were giving me. When I got to college, I found out after a semester or so that if I wrote down as clearly as I could as many of the virtually word for word what a professor would use in a lecture, and if I would read and study and memorize everything, I could synthesize that information and do well on exams. So I spent all of my college career trying to memorize my way through, and it worked pretty darn well. I can't do that anymore. And do people's learning styles change, and is there hope for me to ever get to the point where I can learn the way you're suggesting I should?
Well, my thought on what you were talking about is that you were using a technique that got you to memorize the material, and it took a lot of time to do that.
Oh, it did. It took forever.
And so I think that's probably what's happening. As you get older, your short-term memory kind of gets, you know, like I can't remember names anymore unless I write them down. You know, it kind of evaporates on you. So what I'm suggesting is that if you really learned how your brain works and started using those techniques, you would be able to learn in about a third the amount of time that you did doing that rewriting technique. And it would get into long-term memory. And if you get things into long-term memory, it stays there. So you have something to use and to integrate into your life. It doesn't just evaporate.
Hmm.
Well, maybe there's hope for me.
Yeah,
there's hope for you.
Thanks, Keith. Oh, boy. Christy in Madison, hello to you.
Hi. This might be something that Keith just got answered, but I used to consider myself pretty smart and actually had a very complex job right out of high school and did very well in it. But I took the materials home and studied them as if they were an exam privately all by myself. But now that I'm older and I've changed jobs, I can't retain my name if it's not on my tag. And it's horrible because I'm beginning to feel dumb. I feel like I'm going backwards.
Yeah.
And I never was that. I never thought I was a walking idiot, but it seems like I'm getting there. And I'm wondering if this book, plus I have an 8-year-old, and I'm beginning to see some of the same patterns in him. And I, you know, how you guys were talking about spoon feeding and stuff. I would like to help him before he gets to where I am.
Well, I tell you, it's the book is designed for older students, but you are a smart lady, and you can adapt the ideas to your son, and even though he's 8 years old. And as far as, you know, this book, it works. I mean, even when you get older, it works. You don't lose those abilities. They may diminish a little bit, but you don't lose them. And I think what you're talking about is you probably are a great memorizer. Most people are. I'm personally terrible and have always been. And that's why all of a sudden I think, you know, those skills diminish as you get older. Mm. So you need, you know, that's great. It motivates you to find a way to actually learn it.
Okay. So you think there is hope?
Oh, there is hope.
I have been flashing with Alzheimer's. Oh, my gosh.
No.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you for your wonderful program.
Thanks, Christy. Thanks a lot for calling. So you should pick up a copy of the book. And, you know, the trick for her maybe would be to do the book herself.
Mm-hmm.
And then apply, you know, she'll find out a lot about herself, and maybe then make it easier for her to apply it to her son.
Yes, I think that's a very good, and actually use it, because then when that information is in long-term memory, you get these aha experiences that happen when information and long-term memory is kind of shared. You know, information that you wouldn't think goes together. You have aha experiences.
Hmm. Greg in Abbotsford, hi to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. What
it's
can we do for
my
you?
Experience yeah. that I struggled in school with about every class, but when I became an adult and went on my own, went into the service, went through their training and classes, or the fields that I got into as an adult,
mm-hmm.
I seem to do just fine. So I'm wondering if your mind kind of picks up the path it needs to use to learn with maturity.
Well, I think what you're describing is that you're probably an experiential learner. You're probably somebody that if you had to learn how to change spark plugs in a car, you wouldn't want to read the manual about how to do it. You'd actually like to get under the hood and play around with the spark plugs and pull them out. Is that true?
Very hands-on, yes.
Okay. When you get into the military, it's all very hands-on, experiential. When I got into speech pathology, everything we were learning in the classroom was practiced in the clinic with the clients. So it was very experiential. And, yeah, I became a genius overnight. And, you know, as you did, and you wonder, golly, why did I struggle so much in high school? You know?
It just seemed like when I focused on something that I was really into,
mm-hmm.
it the learning came easy.
Yep. And it probably, that's part of it, is that you were really into and you were interested, but you also probably were in more of an experiential kind of environment.
Sure.
And where instead of reading about it and having to learn it, you experienced it.
Yeah.
Even now, I'm a very visual
learner,
visual hands-on type of guy.
Yeah. Right, right.
Thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate your call, Greg. By the way, before we get any further here, there's some registration information to hear you speak. And do you have? I think I've got it here. You can now. Let me just back up here and say that Renee Mullen Masters will be speaking at Waukesha County Technical College on Thursday, October 11th. Do you know the time, Renee?
Yes. Hold on. It's going to be from 9 o'clock until 11.
9 to 11 in the morning.
Uh-huh, in the morning. And I think if people are interested in registering, they can call Jim Zinn, and I can give the phone number.
Sure.
It's 262, area code, 691-7890. And there's also a website. It's www.wctc.edu/IAL.
So WCTC, that's, of course, for Waukesha County Technical College, wctc.edu/IAL.
Right.
We need to repeat that for good learning. Let's go.
It's hard to say.
Yeah, it is hard to say. Oh boy, Stephanie and Madison, your turn. Hi, Steph.
Hi, Larry, and hi to your guests. Boy, this is a great show. I'm wondering if you're going to. Do you have the book on CD? Do you have it in audio?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, here's the deal. I have gone legally blind. I can still see the big picture. I can see, like, big images, so I'm not totally, you know, I can see pictures, but my reading, I have to use technical, I have to get the technology for reading, and I was a real avid reader for years. So you know, trying to decide, I mean, some people say I'm an auditory learner, some people say I'm visual. I think I like to do both sometimes. If I really want to get it, I want to have a picture and want to hear it. This is fascinating. I really would like to, you know, to get this book, and I'm wondering if it's going to eventually be an audio. I may be able to, I'm in the process right now of trying to decide about technology. And I have to get a big CCTV magnifier to read things.
You know, we have it on. Most of it is on an audio cassette, mm-hmm. which I don't know if you have that.
Yeah, Is it on an audio? So you have it on an audio cassette. You don't.
Yes.
Have,
oh, right.
Okay.
And it and that is available. I gave my phone number earlier. You can call me, and it's available. I can tell you how to get that.
I will get the. I'll call back and get the phone number later. I didn't catch.
Well, let's just give that phone number again.
Okay. It's 541.
541. This area code, right?
Uh huh.
Okay.
482-382-3506.
3506. 482-3506 area code. Say the area code again.
541.
541. I'm getting up there too, and it's my late 50s now, and it's frustrating. So, but anyway, all right. I will be calling you. And
okay.
The 541 area code. Say it again now.
482-3506.
Got it. Thanks.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. And Brenda in Shiocton, your turn. Hi, Brenda.
Hello, how are you?
Great, thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a daughter who has been a very successful LD teacher for at least 25 years, and I'm considering getting this book for her if you think that that would be appropriate. Do you think she could learn something from this that she hasn't learned from experience?
Absolutely. She's an LD teacher?
Yes.
Okay. She'll probably have the same experience that they had at Cal State University Sacramento, where many of the students that were in the class suddenly discovered that they weren't LD. They just had an alternative learning style. And it's an empowering thing to suddenly discover you're not disabled, that you just learn differently.
Mm-hmm. Well, at my age, that would be a revelation for me, too. And before I give it to her, I'm going to read it.
Good plan. Good plan, Brenda. Thanks a lot for calling. And again, the book's available. You can order it online. Go to
Amazon.com.
Amazon.com?
Yep. And they have it in stock and you know, everybody knows, I think most people have that available to them. If they have a question, they can call me.
And that's, your number is 541-482-3506.
Correct.
Renee, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. It was my pleasure, too.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. Renee Mullen-Masters is the author of You Are Smarter Than You Think, Learning Made Easier in 3 Simple Steps. And it's You Are Smarter Than You Think, not Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, it's You Are. The two words there. You Are Smarter Than You Think, Renee Mullen-Masters. It was a real pleasure to have her with us today, and it'd be fun to get her back. We might try it again sometime with her. It was really a lot of fun. I enjoyed it a lot. And I hope you did, too. And I hope you stay with us, too, because we're going to be talking about solar energy in the 2007 Wisconsin Solar Tour. You know what? Most of us, I think, or many of us at least, could be using solar energy, if for nothing else than for hot water heat. We'll find out some more about that and about the tour as we talk with Amy Hart. Amy's program director at the Midwest Renewable Energy Association, and Mark Klein of Gimme Shelter in Amherst, Wisconsin. I'm Larry Mueller, Jim Packard producer. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.